your health with OsteoStrong. Not a drug, not a gym, just 10 minutes a week. One thing we all have in common, a skeletal system. By implementing the OsteoStrong strategy, you may experience the following results. Less joint and back pain, improved bone density, improved posture, improved balance, and improved athletic performance. To learn more about OsteoStrong, visit Linda and Ken in the Cypress Square Shopping Center, 243 Athens Avenue, or give them a call at 215-3115.
Hi, this is Chuck Kinney of Shasta Gas Propane. Our company motto is, our customers are warm friends. We are demonstrating our commitment to this motto by helping those in our area that lost their homes in the car fire and are moving onto their property in an RV during the rebuilding process. We can hook up a 120-gallon propane tank to your RV gas system and deliver gas to your property so you won't have to disconnect your 7-gallon cylinder and take it somewhere to get it filled, then reconnect it and relight your pilots. We will deliver and connect the tank at no charge, then discount the price of the propane. Give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793. We want to help you during this stressful time.
Do you ever feel overwhelmed by the ever-changing world of technology? Tech It Out can help make some sense of it all. Breaking down geek speak into street speak, technology columnist, author, and TV personality Mark Saltzman covers consumer technology each week for every listener. Mark tackles the latest news, reviews, and how-tos to help you understand what's hot, what's not, and why.
Hey everyone, welcome to Tech It Out, episode 100. I'm blown away at this milestone. Thank you so much for the support since this syndicated radio show debuted in July of 2017. Thank you to Radio America for distributing Tech It Out to 86 affiliates who take the one-hour weekend show now, and the 279 stations that take the one-minute daily interstitial. Also, thank you to my sponsor, ASUS, for your ongoing support. I'll tell you more about them in a moment. If you like Tech It Out, please leave a review on the podcast version if you can. It's a star system out of 5 in most cases. It goes a long way, so I appreciate that. Thank you again to everyone. Before we continue on with today's show, congratulations to the Toronto Raptors for your first ever NBA Finals win. This is huge for the city and for the country of Canada. That said, I'm wishing a speedy recovery to KD, Kevin Durant, and Thompson, who are both injured. Golden State Warriors did fight long and hard. It was a great matchup, really evenly matched games. All right, let's now move on to today's Tech It Out. On this week's show, it's interviews from E3, the video game expo that just wrapped up in Los Angeles. We're going to talk with Nintendo about their E3, what's coming soon from them. Veteran gaming and tech reporter Chris Morris will share his top picks from the E3 video game expo, and I'll share some of my highlights too. Tommy Tallarico will join us to talk about the Intellivision Amiga console debuting next year. All of this is coming up this hour on Tech It Out. To kick off the show, I had the pleasure of sitting down with tech and gaming journalist veteran Chris Morris, who shares with us his top picks from the show. Chris, great to see you. How's your show going?
It's going great. Thanks for having me.
Of course. And it was good to hang out with you last night. It's always fun to blow off a bit of steam after a long day on the show floor. So this is it. This is E3, the big show every June in LA, where we get a chance to see tomorrow's games today. Before we talk about your favorite picks, paint us a picture about what it's like walking around E3.
You know, this was an interesting year because Sony wasn't here this year. Microsoft was off the show floor. They had something separate. So did EA. Mm-hmm. So it was a little bit roomier this year, but there was a lot going on. There were a lot of 2020 games shown this year.
Right. And it is spectacle, right? Like, you know, flashing colored lights and booming music, and there's dancers, and we call them cosplayers, costume people in costumes. It's not like most conventions. It's not dry. It's pretty wild. And I agree with you. I welcomed the extra room this year, not being so cramped walking around. But it's fun, right? It's a fun show.
It is. And since they opened it up to the fans a couple of years ago, it's really sort of changed the dynamic of E3. The Fortnite booth here at the show was always crowded. They had people dressed up as the characters in the game. The bus was there. You could get a cup of Slurp, which is a drink in the game. And so it's sort of a fun place to come and just be around people that are as passionate about games as you are.
Tell us a bit about your work as a technology and gaming columnist for different places. You cover this space, and you have been. What makes 2019 a great year for gaming, and where we're going next?
I think 2019 is actually kind of a transition year for this industry. There's a lot of good stuff coming, but it's 2020, I think, that everyone has eyes on right now, because you've got new consoles coming out next year. You've got a lot of big titles that are going to come out. I've been covering this industry for 23 years now, and it never fails to surprise me.
So it's a good year, I think, this year for E3. It's, you know, fewer games, but better quality games, I would argue. But let's dive right in with your favorite picks. I know it's hard to only choose a couple out of probably the hundreds that you've seen, but anything bubble to the top?
I really liked Watch Dogs, the new Watch Dogs from Ubisoft.
Yeah, with Legion.
Legion, correct, yeah. I had a chance to get some extensive time with that, and there's a learning curve to the game. It's going to take a little bit, if you've never played the game before, to get what's going on, but it's such an open world. To be able to play as any character in the game, that's a pretty exciting advancement, I think.
So in the original Watch Dogs, you played in Chicago, but now it's London, and it takes place in, it's kind of like a really high surveillance kind of society, right? Big Brother, if you will, a little Orwellian. And you can, as you said, for the first time, play as any of these Londoners that walk around, and then they each have their own abilities and backstory. That hasn't, I don't think it's been done before on that scale.
No, I don't think it has either. I think it's something they've been hoping to work up towards for a long time. And as you get longer into the life of a console, you know, the PlayStation 4 has been out for, I'm not sure how many, you know, 5, 6, 7 years at this point. So as Xbox, developers know what to do with that technology, and that gives them the ability to do things like this.
And this game, Watch Dogs Legion, is also going to be available for Google Stadia. Can you tell our listeners a bit about that platform?
Yeah, Google Stadia is a really exciting delivery method for games. So essentially, think of what you do with Netflix when you want to watch a movie. You press a button, and you're instantly watching that movie. Same thing with games. And just as exciting, you can play them anywhere. You can play on your TV at home. Maybe you take your tablet to work and you're commuting. You can play that on the train or bus, and even your cell phone down the road.
Yeah, wild. So it's like on demand, no more downloading, no more plastic discs. It just starts when you want. That's the promise. We'll see how it goes. And I know Microsoft has their xCloud, a similar idea, and maybe some others that haven't yet been announced. But that's probably the future. Would you agree?
I think that's definitely the future. Everyone that I've spoken to in the industry thinks this is how people are going to get their games in the years to come. It's not going to be immediate. There's going to be some hiccups with this, but and physical game sales aren't going to go away immediately, because some people are not going to have fast enough broadband speeds, even though the barrier for that's pretty low.
Yeah.
But I think this coming generation, the next Xbox, the next PlayStation, probably the last ones that have a physical media.
We're chatting with Chris Morris. He's a seasoned video game and technology journalist. He writes for Fortune. He's with Voice of America, several other publications as well. And we're chatting about E3, our top picks from the 2019 Electronic Entertainment Expo, is what the acronym used to stand for. I think they dropped that, right?
Yeah, I think you're right. Yeah, I think it's just...
Did you know where Watch Dogs Legion is being developed?
I would guess Canada.
Yes. Toronto. Ubisoft Toronto is working on that. That's coming out, I believe, April of 2020. So we still have a little ways away before we can get our hands on that game. What else caught your eye? Any other action games like Watch Dogs that you liked?
You know, I got to say I'm excited about the new Halo. I thought it looked really good. They kind of dropped the ball with Halo 5, and I think even the people at Microsoft would say that they weren't real happy with how it was received. But launching a Halo with a new console in 2020, Microsoft is really looking to regain market share.
Were they showing a lot of the game, or was it more of a trailer?
It was more of a trailer. They introduced it quickly last year. It was a little bit more of a teaser this year. It has the dramatic elements of the Master Chief becoming once again a principal player in the game, and it was enough.
So this is going to launch with the Project Scarlet, which is the code name for Xbox's new console. people coming in the holiday season of 2020, right?
Right. Yeah. Yeah, that's what they said at the press conference this week.
Have you seen Cyberpunk 2077 or Call of Duty Modern Warfare? Those two I thought were really strong.
I did too. I saw Cyberpunk actually just a little while ago, and I think that's going to be a really exciting game for a lot of people. It's going to be a blend of action and role-playing, and I think that might catch a few people off guard because it was kind of introduced as an action game. But the role-playing elements of it are going to be, I think, more exciting.
It's actually based on a pen and paper tabletop role-playing game before it went digital, which is pretty cool. And Keanu Reeves stepped on stage, speaking of Xbox, to announce that he's involved in the game. He doesn't play the main character, but he plays Johnny Silverhand, who I think is sort of a hologram in your head that assists the player throughout the game, because you play as V or 5, I don't know how you pronounce it. So Keanu was motion captured and all that, and the crowd went nuts, I heard. I wasn't there for Xbox, but I heard people went, you were there, right?
Yeah, I was there. It was the moment of E3. Because they went to extreme lengths to keep his appearance there a secret, and he just sort of walked out on stage and just the place exploded. The next day, Ubisoft, as showing off the new Ghost Recon, had John Bernthal from The Walking Dead, who is one of the characters in the game, and it was exciting enough that he came out there, but he brought his dog Bam Bam, and I think everyone was excited to see the dog too.
Any other games at E3 that caught your eye?
You know, actually one more that springs to mind is Luigi's Mansion, the new one from Nintendo coming out later this year.
Yep. Luigi's Mansion 3.
Yeah, and it's some new gameplay mechanics that are just more fun to actually experience than to hear about.
Talk to us about the game. What do you do in the game?
The game is you are Luigi, Mario's brother, and you're trapped in a mansion, and it's haunted by ghosts. And so you have essentially a vacuum cleaner with a light, a flashlight on it, and it's your job to rid the place of the ghosts.
So you stun the ghosts first, right, with the flashlight, and then you can use your vacuum cleaner, like a Ghostbusters kind of thing, on your back to suck them in, or you can actually reverse it and blow air to navigate around obstacles, like to clear an area. And now you've got something called Gooigi, which is his sort of doppelganger, a green, transparent, gooey thing. What's the mechanic? What can Gooigi do that Luigi can't?
Well, you're sometimes going to come across gates and things like that, and maybe you don't have a key. Maybe there isn't a key. So as Gooigi, you just kind of slime your way through them and then reincorporate your body.
Yeah. Awesome. Great to see you, Chris Morris. Always a pleasure running into you at events like CES or South by Southwest or E3. And, you know, keep doing what you're doing. You're rocking it. Great to see you.
It's good to see you, Mark. I'll see you in a few months.
You got it. Before we continue on with this show, Tech It Out is powered by Asus. Thank you for your ongoing support. Asus creates technology for today and tomorrow's smart life, including its line of award-winning ZenBook laptops and their gaming gear called ROG, or Republic of Gamers. Go to asus.com/US/radio for more info. We'll be right back on this 100th episode of Tech It Out.
Listen to Tech It Out whenever you want. Find the Tech It Out podcast at iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts.
In the market for an innovative laptop, the Asus ZenBook 14 model UX433 is an elegant laptop featuring a stunning nano-edge display with a 92% screen-to-body ratio. With its ErgoLift design, the back of the keyboard is slightly lifted for greater comfort and efficient cooling. Other features include a number pad, fast Intel Core i7 processor. Powered by Windows 10 Home, you can sign in fast, secure, and password-free with Windows Hello and the ZenBook's HD camera. Tech It Out is brought to you by Asus.
Oh my gut! We need to talk about something. Constipation, abdominal pain, and bloating. You tell yourself, it's not that bad. You take laxatives and modify your diet and exercise routine. But thinking about it all the time is frustrating. This doesn't have to define you. If your constipation comes back again and again and you don't know why, then it may be time to seek help. Go to ohmygut.info where you can learn more about your symptoms and get to know your gut. That's ohmygut.info. ohmygut.info.
Get up first thing, smoke a cigarette before lunch, after lunch. Now that I'm talking about it, I'm kind of feeling like I've lost about 4 hours of every day. I decided I needed to find an alternative. So I started looking, and then Juul came up. I did both for a while. It eventually, I just switched over, and it's very quick.
Mimi made the switch July 2015. Make the switch at JUUL.com. Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical.
Ah, the bull elk's bugle, one of nature's most wondrous sounds. That is not a bull elk, that's Kim. Her RV sewage tank is spewing all over her camper. Way, way out in the middle of elk country. Yep, there's an elk. And that's Kim. It's wild out there. When it gets too wild, Progressive has your RV covered. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates.
This report is brought to you by Cooper Tires. Cooper Tires partnered with Auto Service Professional magazine to survey automotive service technicians and learn what they consider to be hazards most likely to damage your tires.
Auto service professionals have pulled a lot of unusual things out of tires over the years, from spoons to toy parts,
said Greg Smith, publisher, Auto Service Professional magazine.
But it might surprise people to know that a lot of tire damage is done simply by poor maintenance.
What are tips for tackling this? Regular tire maintenance is key to help ensure your car is safe when on the road. Jess Edgerton, Director of Brand Development at Cooper Tire, says,
as our survey found, tires confront many hazards along the road, from potholes to nails. Since your tires are the only things that connect your car to the road, they play a critical role in your safety, so it's important to check them, rotate them, and get new ones as needed.
For more, visit www.coopertire.com.
Alan Gordon, Coach Master Collision. She had minor damage to her rear bumper. I wrote her an estimate. Later, I received a call. The lady responsible for the damage wanted to pay for the repairs out of pocket. Her insurance agent told her a claim would raise her rates for years. With our experience in the claim process, I explained to her most insurance companies would forgive a claim if the cost was below a minimum amount. I suggested she contact her insurance agent and have them review her policy. She called back very excited. It appeared her policy did extend forgiveness. They would pay for the repairs, and she wouldn't be charged with a claim or have to pay a deductible. The accident would not cost her a thing. She was very pleased. Good thing the vehicle owner came to the right place for repairs. We all pay a lot for insurance. Choosing Coachmaster will ensure you get the most for your money. Let this experience work for you. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
Purpose-driven banking. That's the vision behind the founding of Five Star Bank in 1999. Services inspired by partnership and defined by shared vision and goals. Five Star Bank, a champion of local economic development and community stewardship. Your success is their success. Now that's smart people doing good business. In a world that's both more connected and more isolated by high tech, Five Star Bank brings you a personal touch to small business banking, cash management, and online services. Five Star Bank, consistently rated among the very best by industry associations, rating agencies, and of course, customers and partners just like you. Your partner in success is Five Star Bank. FiveStarBank.com. Visit your local branch at 358 Hartnell in Reading. Progressive, professional, personal. That's Five Star Bank. Equal housing lender, member FDIC.
Welcome back to Tech It Out. For our next interview from E3, the huge gaming show in LA, I caught up with Tommy Tallarico, a seasoned video game composer, musician, and sound designer. He's a TV personality and a live show creative director and producer with Video Games Live. It's a touring symphony of video game music and other acts. He's worked on over 300 video game titles since the 90s and received awards for his contribution to the video game industry. He is now with Intellivision. That's right, the classic console is coming back, but not as you know it. It's called Intellivision Amiga, and it is more than just a retro machine, as you'll hear now. I'm here with the man, the legend, Tommy Tallarico. How are you?
I'm excellent. Thanks, Mark, for having me.
You're an industry veteran, and it's a pleasure always to see you at events like this, but even more special this year because you are now part of this new gaming console that's coming in 2020 that I think our listeners are really going to get a kick out of. So please tell us all about it.
Yeah, so I became the CEO and president of Intellivision, which was an old console that came out in 1979, and it had 20% of the video game market back then, and Atari had the other 80%. But you know,
great sports games back then. I remember Intellivision was
awesome. You're out. Remember that? Yeah. The Intellivision baseball, of course.
I love the controllers with the number pad on it. Remember the disc?
They were very unique and very different.
Yeah.
And so what I did is I took over, like I said, as CEO. And what our whole thing is that we want to bring families back together to play games. I mean, the quick elevator pitch is that we're kind of picking up where the Wii left off 13 years ago. So bringing families back together, bringing people in a room together, making the game simple, affordable for the family and friends, and fun. That's really what we're all about. It's called the Intellivision Amico. It's the new console. Amico is the Italian word for friend, and it's getting launched on 10/10/2020. So we're still a year and a half away, but here we are at E3 showing the machine and 22 playable games. It's going to launch with 40 games, and it's going to have 5 games packed in. It's under $200. It's going to come with 2 controllers that have a touch screen on every controller.
You can also use a smartphone with it, I understand.
You can hook up to 8 smartphones to the device and download our free app, and everyone can play. This is crazy.
All right, so even though you're the CEO of Intellivision, this isn't just a reboot of the old games from the early 80s or late 70s. And so this is, some of them are about 25%, if I'm not mistaken, are Intellivision games that have been reimagined for today's day and age. Can you elaborate a bit on that?
Yeah, not only Intellivision games reimagined, but all the old retro games. We went out and got all the licenses from Burger Time to the Missile Command and Moon Patrol. And
I used to love that one.
Oh, you got to play the new Moon Patrol. It's unbelievable. And so that's 25% of our library's classic reimagined games. Another 25% is sports and recreation, but not only baseball, football, and soccer, but things like bowling and shuffleboard and darts and pool. Again, stuff that you can play with your family. Another 25% is original IPs. You played a few of them just now. And then the final 25% is all like board games, puzzle games, word games, dice, card games, stuff like that. So we're really something in there for everyone. Every one of our games has a one-player mode, but the real fun begins. Every one of our games also has cooperative, couch co-op, local multiplayer as well.
Right. So again, one of your pillars is family time or yes. with your friends, socializing, which I would give credit to the Nintendo Wii for kickstarting that.
Right.
But then nothing really since. And then today's consoles and then other ones that you're going to go up against, arguably, in late 2020, like the Xbox Project Scarlet.
Yes.
That's obviously, you get one controller in the box. It's mostly a solo, solitary experience, unless you're playing online with somebody, like in Fortnite or whatever. But you really want to bring people around the TV and have fun together.
Because that's what gaming used to be, right? When we were growing up, Mark, everybody used to play in a game together. And I guarantee that all your listeners out there, when they think of their greatest video game moments and memories, I bet it was with other people in a room together, whether it was Bomberman or GoldenEye on the N64 or Mario Kart or whatever it was, right? And that's kind of going away, like you mentioned. Yeah, and we're not trying to compete with Xbox and PlayStation.
It's a different animal.
Exactly. It's a different thing. But the reality is that the industry last year was $140 billion. 55% of that money that was made last year was in mobile and casual games. There's 200 million hardcore gamers in the world, but 3 billion people who play casual games every day. So what we're saying is that those casual players, they would love to play with, but even mobile games are very solitary. It's you looking at a phone. Technology has been driving families apart in the 21st century, and Intellivision is going to use technology to bring people together.
Awesome, Tommy. I'm wishing you much luck and success on this. Still 16 months to go.
Yeah.
It's called Intellivision Amico.
That's
it's coming on October the 10th, 2020, or 10/10/2020. I love that, by the way.
Thank you.
And where can our listeners learn more about the console if they want to read up about all the games and how it's different than other consoles out there?
Absolutely. Go to IntellivisionEntertainment.com.
All right. And congrats on the new role. Very exciting.
Thanks, Mark.
Great to see you.
Rockin'.
On today's Tech It Out, we're chatting with companies and personalities from E3, the annual video game expo held in June in Los Angeles. I wrote two articles there for USA Today. I shot a new TV episode with the Merrim Entertainment folks for CNBC. I hosted a satellite tour across the country, and I'm very fortunate to be a judge with the Game Critics Awards group. This is a group that walks around the show, plays games, and then votes on it afterwards by category and by platform. So I'll share that link when all those results are live on the Best of E3 2019. We'll be back shortly with more Tech It Out on the Radio America Network. This is episode 100. We'll be right back.
Want to follow Mark? Google him. Mark with a C and Saltzman with a Z.
Join Aaron Ryan and Bill Kunda for We the People Radio every Sunday from noon until 2. Our interviews on them give you the whole story rather than mainstream media soundbites.
We'll bring you experts on politics, national security, environmental craziness, veterans affairs, Agenda 21, foreign affairs, and everything in between.
Our commercial-free archives are always available at wethepeopleradio.us.
It's the most fun you can have while talking about them.
Join us every Sunday from noon until 2. We the People Radio here at KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM.
This Chamber of Commerce Minute is brought to you by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning.
Becoming a member of the Greater Reading Chamber of Commerce is probably the smartest investment a local business can make. It would be impossible for a company on its own to duplicate the benefits of a chamber membership in the areas of legislative advocacy, workforce development, and economic development, not to mention all of the networking opportunities and business seminars offered. Join a committee, become an ambassador, attend a networking event, then watch your investment in business take off. Join today by calling 225-4433 and get connected.
This moment's been brought to you by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, professional cleaning services, 221-5868. Why not get the best?
As gun laws continue to tighten up across the country, Bastiani Arms will continue to provide our community with quality firearms, hard-to-find ammo, off-list fully built AR lower receivers, and the absolute best customer service. Get out of the grab-and-go box stores and come talk to a knowledgeable firearm specialist. The good guys at Bastiani Arms are real gun enthusiasts with two full-time gunsmiths on hand 5 days a week. Right now, Bastiani Arms is stocked up on hard-to-find ammo, 30-30, 38 Special, and 44 Magnum. More people than ever are exercising their rights to conceal and carry a firearm. Seth Stoke has over 20 years' experience in firearms and offers CCW classes, women-only CCW classes, and hunter education. Bastiani Arms has everything you need for firearms, and they appreciate you shopping local. Bastiani Arms, on the corner of Larkspur Lane and Wall Street in Reading. Join the revolution.
Founded in 1995, GI Pathology is the only physician-owned laboratory in the United States dedicated solely to the practice of gastrointestinal and liver pathology. The company provides the highest quality GI pathology diagnosis made exclusively by one of our fellowship-trained gastrointestinal and liver pathologists. GI Pathology delivers results to its Northern California client base within an industry-leading 24 hours. Call 888-2-GI-PATH or go to www.gipath.com for more information.
Learn more about our shows and hosts. Check us out online at kcnr1460.com.
Breaking down geek speak into street speak. This is Tech It Out. Tech It Out with technology columnist, author, and TV personality, Mark Saltzman.
Welcome back to Tech It Out in the special E3 video game edition of the program. I'd argue that Nintendo had one of, if not the strongest booths at the 2019 E3 Expo in LA. At E3, I caught up with Andrew Collins, manager of social media and PR at Nintendo. Thank you, Andrew, for your time. How's your E3?
It's been fantastic. You know, one of the great things about working with Nintendo is, you know, the booth is always so popular and it's always full of really happy, smiling faces. So, you know, it's a long day, you know, it's a long week, but it's a really happy week.
Miraculously, we found a quiet room here at the back of the Nintendo booth, so thanks for carving out some time to chat. Before we talk about the future of the Nintendo Switch and some games coming down the pipeline later this year, which is really what E3 is all about, a glimpse into the future of the interactive entertainment space, talk to us about the popularity of the Nintendo Switch as a platform, as a gaming system. Why do you think it's doing so well?
I think, you know, for Nintendo, when we look at the Nintendo Switch, it's a console which you can, you know, can literally play anywhere. So you can play it at home, plug it into the dock, play it on the big screen, or, you know, if someone wants to watch football on TV, you know, kids can undock it and it becomes a portable system so they can go and sit in their bedroom. Or like people like, I've got mine, which I'll be playing on my flight on the way home. So, you know, I can be playing Zelda or, you know, Pokemon, and then as soon as I get home, I just put it back in the dock and I can continue exactly where it came from.
Right. So for in our house, we dock the Nintendo Switch when we get home because it charges it up.
Yeah.
But then, yeah, I pull it out and take it to go. And then I love that my boys, for example, can play against one another in the backseat of the car because you can remove the Nintendo Joy-Con controllers. Yeah. They just slide into the side, and those are two each small little controllers for you to control the action, right?
Yeah, it's great that it's essentially multiplayer out of the box, so long as the game supports it. So, you know, classic games like, you know, Mario Kart 8 Deluxe, or, you know, other games like Super Mario Odyssey, where we have the Cappy multiplayer functionality, and even games like Luigi's Mansion 3, which we're playing today, even that, where you introduce the character of Luigi, you can play that in a two-player mode. Yeah. You can even have an eight-player mode with the skyscraper mode. If you've got four Nintendo Switch, you can have four Luigi's and four Luigi's, so it becomes quite frenetic. But, you know, one of the really important things for Nintendo is that we have games for everyone, and you can play them in any situation you like. Like you say, at the back of the car when you're driving to school. I've even heard some people, you know, play them in the bathroom when they're supposed to be getting ready for school.
Too much information, right? Okay, so it's the versatility of the platform that is, I think, one of the hallmarks of the Nintendo Switch. And then a platform or a gaming system is only as good as its games. And that now brings us to, well, so first of all, you've had an amazing run already, both first-party games, Nintendo's own content, as well as third-party support. But now let's pivot and talk about where we're going in the future. Most of what we're seeing here today is later this year, but I don't want to get ahead of ourselves. Chronologically, I'd love for you to tell our listeners about Super Mario Maker 2 coming at the end of June.
Yeah, I mean, as you hinted, we've got this amazing monthly drumbeat of games coming out. We're only 2 weeks away from Super Mario Maker 2, and that's, you know, it's a great sequel to the original Wii U version, and you can essentially create the Mario Maker level of your dreams. There's so many more tools, and if you're not the creative type, there's a really robust story mode with, you know, 100 levels for you to play through to start with. If you're playing online, you can access Course World, which will give you pretty much access to every course that anyone makes. They upload them to Nintendo Switch Online, and, you know, I figure probably after about a month, you'll have maybe 100,000 levels that you can try. Some will be fiendishly difficult. We saw that a lot with the Wii U version. So one of the things we've done this time is there's a really deep search facility, so you can search for difficulty, type of level, characters, you know, and the world. So,
and highest rated as well, right? There's this whole community aspect to it, so you can see what's trending and then download those best levels around the world.
Yeah, so people could follow you and they could download yours.
All right, so as the name suggests, with Super Mario Maker 2, you can create your own 2D platforming games where you see Mario running side to side and he's solving puzzles and jumping on baddies and things like that, and you get to create your own levels now with the new multiplayer support, but as you said, there's also a solo mode with over 100 levels, and then you can download others, so there's a lot of bang for your buck there because, I mean, theoretically, there's no limit to the levels that are available.
Yeah, essentially, the game never ends. There is no final level because you can just keep creating those final levels for as long as you want.
Okay, great. Great for kids and kids at heart. That's coming June 28th. Super Mario Maker 2 for the Nintendo Switch. Now let's talk about the three biggest games here, I would argue, from the E3 booth that we're in. And let's start off with Luigi's Mansion 3. When is it coming out? And tell us all about
love this one. So Luigi's Mansion 3, we've just said that's coming out in 2019, so people can look forward to that later in the year. And you know, one of the things I've really enjoyed is, you know, when you play the game, it's you're essentially like, you know, the graphics are so nice, it's like you're playing a beautiful Saturday morning cartoon, and it's got a really nice humor about it. So, you know, Luigi and his friends have, you know, received this invite to this hotel. Hey, come and stay at our hotel for free. Sounds too good to be true. And clearly, you know, it is too good to be true, and, you know, all Luigi's friends disappear, and it's up to Luigi, who, let's face it, he's not the bravest character in the Nintendo universe. It's up to him to track down and find his friends in what is a haunted hotel full of traps and ghosts and goblins and people out to get him, really.
And one of the big game mechanics is his vacuum cleaner on his back. Yep. I forgot the name, so please.
The Poltergoo.
Poltergoo, as in poltergeist, right?
Yeah. Okay. And then he's got his little friendly dog, the Polterpup. And then
flashlight.
Yeah, the flashlight. So you've got the flashlight ability. So if you're being attacked by ghosts, you give them a quick flash of the light, and then you can suck them into the Poltergoo. But one of the cool things you can also do is you can like lock them into the beam and then swing them around. So if this, imagine there's three ghosts in the level, you can lock onto one of them and use that ghost to take out the other two.
Love it. And then you can also blow air outwards things like, you know, moving away obstacles. And then the fun new mechanic, though, is Gooigi, and this is sort of like your doppelganger made out of goo, green transparent goo. And tell us about that mechanic.
Yeah, so Gooigi is a ton of fun because there'll be certain areas within the haunted mansion that you just can't get to. So as we see in the demo, Luigi is just like cowering along, and suddenly he steps on a trigger and huge spikes come up from the floor. So all he does is he summons Gooigi, who's kind of, like you say, made out of goo, so spikes can't hurt him. He just walks through there, triggers what he needs to do, the spikes disappear, and then Luigi can continue through it.
Or he can squeeze through bars, like if you're trapped somewhere, that kind of thing.
Water pipes, things like that. And one of the interesting ways about that is that the game becomes two-player. So I could play that on my own, and I alternate control with Luigi and Gooigi. Or if I wanted to play with my level guy at home, he can be Gooigi and I can be Luigi, and we can play together all the time.
All right, so this is Luigi's Mansion 3.
Yep.
It's exclusively for the Nintendo Switch, coming at some point in 2019, so by the holidays at least, if not sooner. And yeah, it was really fun. I played it yesterday, by the way, and I thought it was a really, as you said, a great-looking game. Very easy to pick up, but hard to put down. So that's something I'm excited about. We'll continue our chat with Nintendo's Andrew Collins when we return on the show.
Breaking down geek speak into street speak. Check it out. Hosted by Mark Saltzman.
Gamers, listen up. If you want a laptop with no trade-offs, one that's packed with power yet still portable, check out the ROG Zephyrus S GX701 from Asus. Up your game with this 17-inch laptop squeezed into a 15-inch body. Under the hood, it has the latest NVIDIA GeForce RTX 2080, 8th-gen Intel Core i7, SSD storage up to a terabyte, and runs Windows 10 Pro. Learn more at Asus.com. Tech It Out is powered by Asus, for those in search of incredible.
Cancer is the number one cause of death by disease for children in the U.S. today. Since the Austin Hatcher Foundation's birth in 2006, it has grown to provide unique programs to help the children and the families affected by pediatric cancer. Support begins at the time of diagnosis and continues throughout survivorship at no cost to families. Lives touched by the foundation continue to rise each day. But we need your help. Donate, volunteer, or partner with the Austin Hatcher Foundation. Learn how you can get involved. Visit hatcherfoundation.org for more information.
Want to fly somewhere? Looking for cheap flights or cheap tickets? Then call. That's right. Call the low-cost airline travel hotline now for prices so low, we can't publish them anywhere. Low-cost airlines has all kinds of cheap travel deals. Fly domestically and save up to 75%. You can even fly internationally and save even more. Yes, fly anywhere in the world and save a lot of money on your plane tickets. We'll even save you money with cheap travel deals on hotels, rental cars, even complete travel packages. So don't book your tickets until you call us first for the absolute cheapest prices on U.S. and international airline tickets and hotels. Call right now for prices so low they can't be published. Travel experts are here 24/7 to help. 800-338-3814. 800-338-3814. 800-338-3814. That's 800-338-3814.
This is your Tech It Out Minute with Mark Saltzman, brought to you by ASUS.
Looking for a smartphone upgrade? Introducing the LG G8 ThinQ. So what is ThinQ? Spelled T-H-I-N-Q. We asked Ash Mollet from LG.
We've really delivered what I'll call a refined, minimalist design. We have enhanced front and rear facing cameras. We always have the incredible audio experience that LG has been known for.
And this smartphone comes with LG's artificial intelligence platform called, you guessed it, ThinQ.
It's LG's overarching platform that connects our home appliance, home entertainment, and mobile businesses with an AI platform that, you know, is going to make everyday usage of all of those types of appliances, TVs and phones, a really seamless process.
Go to your local carrier for rates and find out more on LG's G8 ThinQ.
That was your Tech It Out Minute, brought to you by ASUS.
Welcome back to Tech It Out. We're chatting with Andrew Collins from Nintendo about the video game company's highlights from the E3 Video Game Expo, just wrapped up in Los Angeles. Pokemon is coming to the Nintendo Switch again, so talk to us about this new title. I played that as well yesterday.
So Pokemon Sword and Pokemon Shield are two new games which are coming out November 15th, and it's a whole new generation of Pokemon coming to Nintendo Switch. And it's, you know, it's proving a really interesting game. It's a whole new region. It's the region of Galar, which is based on the British Isles, so I feel like I've got a bit of an investment in that one. And what we'll see here, it's, you know, very open world game, and there's a really great area called the Wild Area, and in that, it's one of the interesting things about the Pokemon is that, you know, you'll meet different Pokemon depending on what the weather's like. You know, you'll see some for rain, some for, you know, different types of weather conditions, and you'll see some different Pokemon in the cities. So it's going to be really interesting for fans who have played the previous Pokemon games and really want to explore and meet these new Pokemon.
Yeah. And I love that that's part of the strategy or tactics, if you will, where if it's a water-based creature as well, you don't want to use a water-based attack because it may not have much of an effect on them, but if you use fire or another, you know, that's all part of the role-playing game experience. So yeah, I had a lot of fun, and I like that there's an in-between world as well where there's like these pipes everywhere. I don't know what that area is called.
The gym that's in the demo, that was one of the water gyms. Yeah. And then if you played the demo at the very end, you meet one of the big new features of the game, the Dynamax Pokemon. And this is a functionality where you can turn any of the Pokemon in the game into these huge 50-foot behemoths. So imagine like a huge Pikachu coming into a fight. You can actually capture these wild Dynamax Pokemons in the game. And that's where we have something called the Max Raid Battle, where you and three friends can join together and take your trainers to take on this wild Dynamax and hopefully catch him to use in other battles yourself.
Alright, great. We're chatting with Andrew Collins from Nintendo about E3 2019 and all the cool titles that Nintendo is showing. Let's end off on The Legend of Zelda Link's Awakening. This is a reboot of a classic game.
Yeah, it's a reimagining of the original Game Boy game from, you know, the early 90s, and it's one that I've been personally looking forward to because I've got such keen, fond memories of when I played it originally, and like hearing the music at the start, you know, it's like stepping into a beautiful warm bath of nostalgia. It has that classic Nintendo feel. And what we've done with, you know, reimagined how would that game look if it was played now, and so when you play it, it's this beautiful cartoon and everything's gorgeous and bright, and it's like a really happy world with this classic story that, you know, is one of the best Zelda adventures that we've ever brought out.
Yeah, I just played a little bit yesterday where I got my shield and then I had to find my sword down by the beach. Oh, did I just spoil that? You have to find your sword.
And then it's 5 minutes. We can.
Yeah, there you go. And then, you venture off on this grand adventure, and it's like a dungeon crawler, if you will, top-down, but with 3D animated characters this time. But it's the same view, though, as the classic game.
It's kept a lot of the originals. One of the things that we did adapt is, for people who played the original, there's a lot of time spent in the menus and kind of not in the direct gameplay. So when the team were looking at how would they reimagine this game, they worked on reducing the time people would spend in the menus. So instead of lots of deep menus, we've got, you know, a really good map which, you know, gives you a lot of the information that you need. You can put pins in it, so maybe there's a boulder that's an entrance to a dungeon, but you can't pick it up because you've not got strength. You can put a pin on there, and then you know that you come back later on. And it's just one of the examples of kind of the details that the team have put into creating what is certainly going to be my go-to game for the next couple of months when it comes out.
And when is it coming out?
That's September 20th.
All right, September 20th. And then Luigi's Mansion 3, a little bit afterwards, probably, as well as the... I'm not trying to get a hint from you. As well as the Pokemon games, both games as well, Sword and Shield. Okay, awesome. Andrew, thank you so much for your time. I've really enjoyed chatting with you. Congratulations on another successful E3. Nintendo always stays on top of its game, pun intended. And this year is certainly no exception. Thank you.
Awesome. Thanks a lot. Pleasure to talk to you.
You're listening to the 100th episode of Tech It Out. I'm proud of that milestone. The show started in July of 2017, and hope you've been enjoying it so far. If you've got any feedback for me, you've got some suggestions maybe on an upcoming topic or a guest you'd like to hear from, any constructive feedback, I'm all ears. You can hit me up privately or publicly. With the latter, you can get me on social media. I'm on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, LinkedIn. You name it. I'm on Twitter at Mark_Saltzman. That's Mark with a C underscore or underline SALTZMAN. On Instagram, it's just Mark Saltzman. But if you do a search with Mark with a C, you're going to find me. And you can also follow my tech tip of the day, if you like, on Twitter, Instagram, and LinkedIn, where every day I offer a little bite-sized bit of advice in the tech world. So I hope you find that useful. And if you like the podcast version of the show, you can, of course, subscribe via iTunes or Blog Talk or TuneIn and what have you. Please tell a friend, share the link with a colleague. You can also leave a review. There's usually like a 5-star system that you can click on. I appreciate that very much. I'm really excited that it is the 100th episode of this show, as I've been working on this every week. I produce the show and I host it. You know, I source all the guests, so it means a lot to me, and I really love the feedback that I get from listeners. When we return on Tech It Out, we're going to continue our E3, our special edition of the show on the hottest games to come in the near future. I hosted a satellite tour on Tuesday from E3, just down the street, and I'm going to share with you when we return a couple of other gaming picks from my vantage point, as well as a couple of gadgets to head us into the summer, maybe some Father's Day gift ideas, including an annual service. It's like a tech support service that you can gift to your dad, and it gives him 24/7 online support for all his tech, regardless of where he bought it or when he bought it, as well as phone support and in-store support at Best Buy as well. So that's all coming up. You're listening to Tech It Out, powered by Asus. They create technology for today and tomorrow's smart life. Visit asus.com/US/radio for more info. That's asus.com/US/radio. We'll be right back.
Follow Mark Saltzman on Facebook, on Twitter, on Instagram. Listen to Tech It Out whenever you want.
KCNR is proud to announce that we are now live at 96.5 FM, as well as online, and as always, heard on 1460 AM. Weekday mornings, wake up with the Sue McClain News Hour, followed by Free Fire Radio, your talk radio station at the epicenter of change in downtown Reading. 9 to noon, be informed and laugh along with Armstrong and Getty, the conscience of the nation. Noon to 3, find your financial peace with Dave Ramsey. 3 to 6, the hard-hitting constitutional expert, Mark Levin. Monday through Thursdays at 6 p.m., local shows feature everything from the paranormal to pop culture to unsung heroes of our area. 7 to 9, Ben Shapiro with an expanded program that brings the issues of the day to your radio. And finish your weekday with the Chris Plant Show, 10 p.m. to 1 a.m. KCNR, now on 96.5 FM, 1460 AM, and always online. More than ever, we're your locally owned, community-connected talk radio.
Hi, this is Chuck Kinney of Shasta Gas Propane. Our company motto is, "Our customers are warm friends." We are demonstrating our commitment to this motto by helping those in our area that lost their homes in the car fire and are moving onto their property in an RV during the rebuilding process. We can hook up a 120-gallon propane tank to your RV gas system and deliver gas to your property so you won't have to disconnect your 7-gallon cylinder and take it somewhere to get it filled, then reconnect it and relight your pilots. We will deliver and connect the tank at no charge, then discount the price of the propane. Give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793. We want to help you during this stressful time.
right, so I'm here in Los Angeles at the annual E3 Expo, the annual Mecca, every June to LA to catch a glimpse at tomorrow's games today. It's only open to people in the industry. And I'm actually doing some TV interviews right now at a studio called Illuminate, just taking a little break to record a radio version of some of the cool products I'm showing. Some are tied to E3, some are not. Some are Father's Day gadgets and all that. But I wanted to share with you some of the cool things that I saw on TV. You might have even seen the interview in your local city. But let me tell you about some products that caught my eye. So let's start off with games, since we are here at E3. There's a ton of buzz about Final Fantasy VII Remake from Square Enix. It's the reimagining of the iconic Final Fantasy VII role-playing game, or RPG, came out many years ago. But now with amazing graphics for next-gen systems, there are memorable characters, of course, a deep story, and an engaging battle system. Final Fantasy VII Remake will debut in March of 2020, so you're going to have to wait to play this game, but you should check out the video on YouTube if you haven't seen the trailer from the 2019 E3. Again, it's called Final Fantasy VII Remake from Square Enix, and it will first debut on the PlayStation 4. Next up, Minecraft Earth is going to be an all-new free-to-play augmented reality game for mobile devices when it debuts this summer. Imagine creating and playing in a digital world that's superimposed on the real world around you, playing Minecraft and collecting items. And you can do so by yourself or with a friend. The closed beta launches this summer, meaning it's not publicly available yet, but you can sign up and test drive the game and give some feedback. And that's, again, called Minecraft Earth, and you can sign up now for that closed beta at earth.minecraft.net. It will work with iPhone, iPad, and Android devices. If you love retro games as much as I do, I've been showing on TV this morning these arcade one-up cabinets called Countercades. They're tabletop replicas of classic arcade games that you know and love. I'm talking about Pac-Man and Space Invaders, Centipede and Dig Dug. Each machine has two games in them, and they're $199 a piece at Walmart and EB Games and Kohl's and some other places. Again, the company's called Arcade 1-Up, and these small products are called Countercades. They also have three-quarter-sized arcade cabinets that are about $299 and up, sold at Walmart, but these are tabletop replicas called Countercades. All right, SteelSeries is here at E3 with a cool new headset, a wireless gaming headset called the Arctis 9X. It quickly pairs with your Xbox One with a dual wireless connection. So you can hear the game's audio, but also take phone calls via Bluetooth. You can chat with your buddies over the internet or listen to music from your smartphone via Bluetooth as well. The SteelSeries Arctis 9X costs $199. I love not just the audio quality, but how comfortable they are, which is really important. That's Arctis, A-R-C-T-I-S 9X. Next up, as a traveler who works on his laptop a lot, I always back up my important info because you never know what's going to happen. You can drop your laptop and then you can't access your files, or it can be stolen or lost. So I love this next product that I've got here with me. It's called the My Passport Go from WD. It's a small, fast, and ruggedized drive that lets you quickly back up and access all of your photos, videos, and other files. It's a USB drive, but it's an SSD, a flash drive, instead of a hard disk drive. Prices start at $89 for 500 gigs for the My Passport Go from WD, but it goes all the way up to 1 terabyte and with super fast speeds as well. Next up, for fans of Tom Clancy's Jack Ryan, and there are many out there, Season 1 is now available as a multi-disc set on Blu-ray and DVD. A great Father's Day gift, Paramount's acclaimed action series offers all 8 episodes from Season 1, plus deleted scenes that are exclusive to these discs as well. And that all will help prep you for Season 2 and Season 3, which have both been greenlit for Amazon Prime Video. But for this box set, it's $21 for the DVD and about $28 for the Blu-ray. Finally, whatever tech you buy Dad for Father's Day, a great gift is a service called Total Tech Support. It's an annual Geek Squad membership to help Dad with his tech, no matter where he bought it or when he bought it. So again, it doesn't even have to be bought at Best Buy. If he needs help with his tech, as many dads and granddads do, this product is great. It's a service for $199 a year. Again, it's called Total Tech Support, and it offers 24/7 online help, or you can get help by phone or in store as well. BestBuy.com/giveTTS has more on Total Tech support. As you can see, there's no shortage of great gear and gadgets. There's TV shows and services all leading into the summer, so no shortage of gift ideas for dads and grads. All right, well, that brings us to the end of episode 100 of Tech It Out. Thank you once again for your support, and a huge thank you to Radio America, as well as my sponsor, ASUS. Tech It Out is powered by ASUS, creating technology for today and tomorrow's smart life. ASUS, for those in search of incredible. Visit asus.com/us/radio for more info. That's asus.com/us/radio. Have a great rest of your weekend, everyone. Congrats to the Toronto Raptors for taking the NBA Finals once again. And I'm wishing all the dads out there in Radioland a very happy Father's Day. All the best. And I'll speak with you next weekend on Tech It Out. Bye-bye for now.
Purpose-driven banking. That's the vision behind the founding of Five Star Bank in 1999. Services inspired by partnership and defined by shared vision and goals. Five Star Bank, a champion of local economic development and community stewardship. Your success is their success. Now that's smart people doing good business. In a world that's both more connected and more isolated by high tech, Five Star Bank brings you a personal touch to small business banking, cash management, and online services. Five Star Bank, consistently rated among the very best by industry associations, rating agencies, and of course, customers and partners just like you. Your partner in success is Five Star Bank. FiveStarBank.com. Visit your local branch at 358 Hartnell in Reading. Progressive, professional, personal. That's Five Star Bank. Equal housing lender, member FDIC.
NMLS number 3030.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Ron DeRockstra. President Trump is accusing the news media of suppressing his numbers in several national and state polls.
As the president prepares to officially kick off his 2020 re-election bid next week, he's dismissing public polls that show him trailing top Democrats in key states that he won in 2016.
I think we're going to win. I saw a fake poll, a suppression poll in Pennsylvania. I even saw one in Texas. They're suppression. They're fake polls.
The president says he also had to deal with suppression polls in 2016, but he tweets, "This time is worse." Greg Clugston, The White House.
Hong Kong's chief executive, Carrie Lam, trying to make a move to quell public anger by shelving an unpopular bill that would make it easier to extradite suspects to mainland China. But opponents say it's not enough. They want her to pull the bill entirely and step down. Activists say they're still planning a mass protest for tomorrow. More than 100 rallies are planned around the country today calling for the impeachment of President Trump. Heritage Foundation scholar Hans von Spakovsky tells the Salem Radio Network the move to impeach is a misuse of the Constitution's impeachment provision by those who oppose the president's policies.
And they think they can use the impeachment process to basically upset the 2016 election.
Spakovsky says the effort by leftists to impeach the president likely to backfire on the Democrats in next year's election.
I think they will pay the price at the ballot box, because the American people will see them abusing a constitutional power for partisan purposes.
Spakovsky calls the effort to impeach the president a real threat to our democracy and the stability of our republic. A pair of explosions rocked Somalia's capital, left 11 people dead and another 25 wounded. The al-Qaeda-linked extremist group Al-Shabaab claiming responsibility. News and analysis at townhall.com.
Maybe you'd like to know what exactly Relief Factor is. It was created by doctors. It's a 100% drug-free supplement with four key ingredients that simply help your own body deal with the natural inflammatory response that it has. It's easy to swallow, four little capsules in each packet, like the packet that I carry with me at all times. Three packets a day for a week, then two packets a day for 2 weeks, and I have just described the 3-week quick start. And you will know in 3 weeks. That's the beauty of it. Whether it works, they don't drag you on. That costs just $19.95. There's a very good chance that a very serious percentage of my listeners suffer from some sort of muscular or joint pain. You should try this for $19.95. That's all you can lose. If it works, they'll send it to you automatically. If it doesn't work, tell them not to send any shipments. And it's as simple as that. It is all at ReliefFactor.com. I've been using it for years now. ReliefFactor.com.
Customer management software developer Salesforce is buying Tableau Software in an all-stock deal valued at $15.7 billion.
Tableau uses self-service analytics to help people with any skill level work with data. Among the companies that use Tableau services are Charles Schwab, Verizon, and Netflix. Once the transaction closes, Tableau will operate independently and stay headquartered in Seattle. The announcement comes a few days after Google said it is purchasing data analytics firm Looker for $2.6 billion in order to expand its Google Cloud business.
Correspondent Jeremy House reporting. The acquisition is expected to add about $350 million to $400 million to Salesforce.com Inc.'s fiscal 2020 revenue. The deal, which was approved by both companies' boards, is expected to close during Salesforce's fiscal third quarter. Breaking news and analysis at townhall.com. Workers at Volkswagen's plant in Chattanooga, Tennessee, voted Friday night against forming a factory-wide union.
The vote is a setback to United Auto Workers' effort to gain a foothold among foreign auto facilities in the South. The vote of hourly workers began Wednesday and concluded Friday. Preliminary results show 833 employees voted against representation and 776 voted for it. The German automaker said in a statement, VW said about 93% of the roughly 1,700 eligible employees voted. Volkswagen has union representation at all of its other major plants worldwide. Patrick Frost reporting.
The NBA Finals were a smashing success for Canada all the way around. The league says 56% of the Canadian population watched at least some part of the NBA Finals, with an average viewership of about 8 million for the Raptors' title-winning win over the Golden State Warriors in Game 6. Check out more of these stories at townhall.com. I'm Ron DeRockstra.
Join Aaron Ryan and Bill Cundiff for We the People Radio every Sunday from noon until 2. Our interviews on them give you the whole story rather than mainstream media soundbites.
We'll bring you experts on politics, national security, environmental craziness, veterans affairs, Agenda 21, foreign affairs, and everything in between.
Our commercial-free archives are always available at wethepeopleradio.us.
It's the most fun you can have while talking about them.
Join us every Sunday from noon until 2. We the People Radio here at KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM.
This Chamber of Commerce Minute is brought to you by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning.
Becoming a member of the Greater Reading Chamber of Commerce is probably the smartest investment a local business can make. It would be impossible for a company on its own to duplicate the benefits of a chamber membership in the areas of legislative advocacy, workforce development, and economic development, not to mention all of the networking opportunities and business seminars offered. Join a committee, become an ambassador, attend a networking event, then watch your investment in business take off. Join today by calling 225-4433 and get connected.
This moment's been brought to you by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, professional cleaning services, 221-5868. Why not get the best?
Well, hey, welcome everyone to this edition of Pop Tech Radio. I am Mike Etchart. So glad to have you here today. We are going to be talking about iTunes. You may have seen the news and the headlines. iTunes going away. It was a great headline. Not exactly true. We're going to talk about what's really happening and what's going on with iTunes. But, you know, if you are a fan of digital music or a fan of technology, you've been using iTunes for a very long time, and it's really pretty miraculous that it has stayed in mostly its same incarnation for the last, gosh, about 18 years. I want to say that it came about in around 2001. shortly before the introduction of the iPod. And the iPod was revolutionary, and iTunes was a big reason that the iPod was so successful, because it was such a great librarian system. And you know, you've probably heard me talk on the show a fair amount about the fact that, you know, the iPod was not the first digital music player by a long shot. There were digital music players coming out in almost maybe the mid-90s, certainly the late 90s, well before the iPod was introduced. But one of the things they all had in common was they were terrible in terms of just the management of those files, those songs. They were terrible. And, you know, way before digital music happened, I was a big fan of the Walkman. Everybody remember the Walkman? That was a revolutionary device. That was the first portable music player. And, of course, it used cassettes in the day. And then there was, I guess it was called the Discman after that. It was portable DVD players. They didn't work as well in terms of just because of the, there was, at least I wore them for exercise. But when the original Walkmans and then their clones came out, and this would have been in the, boy, the mid 80s, I guess, early 80s probably, I was an early adopter and loved it. I spent so much time making mixtapes. I was running a lot then and jogging, and I would make these elaborate mixtapes with different songs and spend all this time of, you know, recording them on a cassette player and then going out and running with them. And it was fantastic. It was absolutely amazing. I love, you know, having that immediate portability when you're exercising at the time, and cassette was the big format in those days, was fantastic. And I was a longtime user of that well into the 90s and into the early 2000s. And I never, even though I had a lot of friends that had those early digital music players, my first one was the iPod. But the when iTunes was introduced and then the iPod shortly thereafter, it was absolutely revolutionary. And it was great for me creating set lists for exercising, because if I didn't like the first song being the first song in iTunes, I could just slide it down into the fifth song or the eighth song or whatever it was. It was just fantastic. And that first iPod, of course, was really a wonderful device, and we'll talk a little bit more about that later on in the show as well, how much fun we all had in those early days of digital music with iTunes and with the iPod. But now we are getting to a point where where iTunes has really kind of outlived its usefulness, mostly because it does so much now. It's really gotten kind of, I don't know if bloated is the right word, but it's just become outdated. It's been asked to do too many things, and what Apple's going to do is they're going to split it up. So it made great headlines for saying how iTunes is going to be discontinued, but the fact is we're going to all be fine, and we're going to move on with our lives, and it's going to still exist in much the same way that it has. It's just going to be divided up into different categories, so to speak. But, you know, it's for a piece of software to last 18 years, which is more or less how long it has been lasting, is absolutely revolutionary. So kind of our hats off, I would say our hats off to Apple, but Apple didn't even develop that. It was developed by another company that Apple ended up buying. But it's been, you know, if you would have told those developers back in the day that, hey, this piece of software will last for 18 years, there's not a person in that room that would have believed that. So it's a huge success that iTunes still exists. I still use it on my computer. I still have a ton of different set lists, and my digital catalog that is there, all of my, or my digital library, I should say, it's all still in iTunes, and it still is working fine, and it's going to be fine when they split it up, and it's going to be divided into music and television and podcasts and other things. So that is fine. But we're going to talk today a little bit more about what's going on at Apple and how kind of the development of iTunes happened and the iPod, because you can't mention one without the other, and really how revolutionary and eventually evolutionary all of those technologies became. And then we're going to talk a little bit about where we are today with digital music and subscriptions and what's going to be happening in the future. So stick with us. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we've got the story of iTunes. This is PopTech Radio. Be right back.
It's Dodge Performance Days, where that new car smell gets replaced by the scent of burned rubber. With Dodge Charger, it's available best-in-class 485 horsepower. Dodge Challenger Hellcat Red Eye, with up to 797 horsepower and 707 pound-feet of torque. And the powerful 7-passenger Dodge Durango. Hurry in for great deals now at Dodge Performance Days. Ford's large regular car vehicle segment. Dodge is a registered trademark of FCA US LLC.
Kia Soul, what started as an icon, has evolved into a whole new species. The Soul X line specializes in adventure with a nasty case of restless car syndrome. The high-minded Soul EX is dressed up and kitted out with more tech than we can mention here. And the Soul GT line turbo is a true apex predator with a turbocharged drive to defy. The new species of Soul, the 2020 Soul. Give it everything. The big news from Subaru is the three-row Ascent. It's the biggest SUV from Subaru ever. There's room for 7 or 8 passengers with a choice of second-row captain's chairs or bench seating. It'll tow up to 5,000 pounds. It has interior space you need for your whole crew. And it gets you where you want to go with the safety of a Subaru, including standard symmetrical all-wheel drive. The three-row Subaru Ascent. Love is now bigger than ever. Maximum towing capacity varies by trim level, and trailer brakes may be required. See your retailer for details. Brembo has been stopping champions on the track as well as drivers like you and me on the street for over 50 years. Whether it's UV-coated brake discs, low-dust premium ceramic brake pads, or high-temperature brake fluid, BremboStoreUSA.com is the place to go to buy genuine Brembo OE-equivalent replacement brake components. Go to BremboStoreUSA.com to help you achieve that 60-0 braking performance you deserve and expect from Brembo. Brembo, the choice of champions and consumers for over 50 years.
This report is brought to you by Cooper Tires. Cooper Tires partnered with Auto Service Professional magazine to survey automotive service technicians and learn what they consider to be hazards most likely to damage your tires.
Auto service professionals have pulled a lot of unusual things out of tires over the years, from spoons to toy parts,
said Greg Smith, publisher, Auto Service Professional magazine.
But it might surprise people to know that a lot of tire damage is done simply by poor maintenance.
What are tips for tackling this? Regular tire maintenance is key to help ensure your car is safe when on the road. Jess Edgerton, Director of Brand Development at Cooper Tire, says,
as our survey found, tires confront many hazards along the road, from potholes to nails. Since your tires are the only things that connect your car to the road, they play a critical role in your safety, so it's important to check them, rotate them, and get new ones as needed.
For more, visit www.coopertire.com.
Hey, welcome back. It is Pop Tech Radio. Mike Etchert and my good friend Jay Gilbert is joining me. He is the co-founder of Label Logic and the digital strategist for said company, and he also has a wonderful newsletter on digital music called Your Morning Coffee that is kind of the must read in the music industry. Jay, we've known each other forever, but this is the first time you've been on the show, and I'm stoked to have you.
It is, and I'm stoked to be here, and thank you for the kind words and the introduction.
It is all true. It is all true. But let's talk about the headline was iTunes is done.
Right.
That's not entirely true, really.
No, it's not. I mean, you know, after 18 years with this new Catalina operating system, you know, Apple is changing some things around a little bit. And if you were to believe the headlines, you'd think that iTunes was gone.
Yes.
But it's not, you know, really. I mean, it's just they're breaking these things up into separate pieces, kind of for separate uses, really. There's music, there's podcasts, and there's television, and they're all going to have their own apps under this new Catalina, you know, Macintosh operating system. It's, you're not going to lose your downloads that you have, you know, don't panic. Everything's going to be fine.
Well, you know, what I kind of liken it to is I live in a neighborhood in my little town where I live that is, it was historically kind of funky houses, weekend cabins. And then over the years, people just started adding on to them in a funny room here and a goofy bathroom over there. And so it's a neighborhood.
I see where you're going.
Yeah. And that's kind of what happened to iTunes, isn't it? Is it just they kept adding on to it. And at some point you kind of look at the whole structure and go, oh, God, this is kind of a mess. And
well, you got to know kind of where it came from. first. I mean, really, sure. You know, they had purchased somebody else's software to kind of kick it off, mm-hmm. to get it going. And if you were to talk to people at Apple back in the early days, and we did, they would tell you that it was held together by duct tape and chewing gum. You know, it was really fragile. And the fact that it worked as well as it did is a testament to Apple. But remember, they always did that thing that Silicon Valley is famous for, where they'd come out with version 1.0 and then later 2.0, and they just kind of improved it, and we got used to that, and we accepted that.
Yeah, we did. Well, and as I said in my first segment, you know, it was great. I mean, the iPod was not the first digital music player. But none of them had very good librarian or library systems.
Right, that was a problem.
Yes. My recollection is you got an iPod early yes. on.
Yeah, I had the first one, you know, like right when it came out. But I had been a big fan of MP3 players prior to that. I had a Diamond Rio. There was another one that I had that used Music Match software. I think that's what it was called. I'm trying to rack my brain. But I remember they carried – I mean, there were very few songs. It was enough to kind of go to the gym with, yes. or maybe, you know, your ride on your bicycle or something. And when the iPod came out, it was the most beautiful device I had ever seen, because all these other little devices – were kind of clunky and kind of ugly and kind of cheap looking. And, you know, this thing came out and it was solid, you know, and it had some weight to it. And I think it only had like 5 gigabytes on it, and which I think their advertisement was something like, you know, 1,000 songs in your pocket, right? And I absolutely fell in love with this device. I did a lot of kind of on the weekend rollerblading near my old house because there was kind of a track nearby. And I took that thing with me every single day, and it was just like my prized possession. I couldn't believe the sound that yeah. came out of that at the time. And if I'm not mistaken, it had a big plug on the top for FireWire. Remember yep. FireWire, that big, thick?
Of course. You know, I mentioned this before you came on. It, as a runner, I would spend hours making these set lists, but then they were baked, you know, on a cassette tape. Whereas as soon as you got the iPod, you're like, oh, you know, I really want this song to be the third song instead of the eighth song, and that yeah. was easily done in yeah. iTunes software, and it was just revolutionary.
And it was so visual, right? You could just yeah. look at it and just, with a click of a mouse, kind of move some things around. And if you're like me, I mean, I loved making mixtapes. You know, it was like the movie High Fidelity.
Yeah.
That's every stage of my life, was making these mixtapes and making the perfect one. And it wasn't just throwing a bunch of songs together. It was like it had to start a certain way, and it had to build, and it, you know, it had kind of a lull, and then it would bring back up. And I had the great pleasure of working with a guy at Apple named Gary Stewart. And Gary recently, sadly, passed away. But he put together all of the iTunes essentials and next steps and best ofs. I mean, he literally put together thousands of these, quote-unquote, mixtapes, playlists, whatever you want to call them. And they're still there, and they're still amazing, right? But I would work on some of those with him, with artists that I knew about. And it wasn't about your favorite songs necessarily. It was about, you know, is this a fan favorite? Is it still being played live by the band? Has it been in any movies? And there was really a method to his madness. And for those of us who put together a lot of these quote-unquote mixtapes, we have a passion for this stuff, and the iPod really allowed us to take that to another level.
iTunes made it happen. On that note, we got to take a quick break. You're listening to Pop Tech Radio. I'm Mike Etchart. We've got Jay Gilbert here. We are talking about the changing iTunes and the future of digital music, actually. So we've got more when we come back. Pop Tech Radio.
As gun laws continue to tighten up across the country, Bastiani Arms will continue to provide our community with quality firearms, hard-to-find ammo, off-list fully built AR lower receivers, and the absolute best customer service. Get out of the grab-and-go box stores and come talk to a knowledgeable firearm specialist. The good guys at Bastiani Arms are real gun enthusiasts, with 2 full-time gunsmiths on hand 5 days a week. Right now, Bastiani Arms is stocked up on hard-to-find ammo, 30-30, 38 Special, and 44 Magnum. More people than ever are exercising their rights to conceal and carry a firearm. Seth Stokes,
Inc. has over 20 years experience in firearms and offers CCW classes, women-only CCW classes, and hunter education. Bastiani Arms has everything you need for firearms, and they appreciate you shopping local. Bastiani Arms, on the corner of Larkspur Lane and Wall Street in Reading. Join the revolution.
Hi, this is Chuck Kinney of Shasta Gas Propane. Our company motto is, our customers are warm friends. We are demonstrating our commitment to this motto by helping those in our area that lost their homes in the car fire and are moving onto their property in an RV during the rebuilding process. We can hook up a 120-gallon propane tank to your RV gas system and deliver gas to your property so you won't have to disconnect your 7-gallon cylinder and take it somewhere to get it filled, then reconnect it and relight your pilots. We will deliver and connect the tank at no charge, then discount the price of the propane. Give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793. We want to help you during this stressful time.
And we are back. Mike Etchart here with my good friend Jay Gilbert. He, of course, co-founder of Label Logic. He is a digital strategist there. And he also is the author or co-author of Your Morning Coffee, which is a wonderful newsletter that is the most read, certainly in the tech side of the music industry. And Jay, is there a website for Your Morning Coffee?
Yes, you can go to labellogic.net. It's label-logic.net, and it's okay. The first thing that you see. It's free. Comes out every Friday at about 5:30 in the morning if you're up that early. And it's
and I'm not. Either comes in.
It does come in. It's a highly curated look at, you know, the what we call the new music business, basically. You know, everything about streaming, you know, everything about how, you know, this industry is shifting because of this new ecosystem. So, yeah, check it out.
It's a must.
Thank you.
You know, so we were talking as we were in our Wayback Machine there, talking about the early days of iTunes and the iPod, and we almost forget that it was Mac only in those. Was it 2 years or so that it was Mac only? I don't even remember.
Yeah, it seemed like forever, and it was a big deal when they opened up to Windows. You know, there were people that were upset about it, right?
That's right. Mac owners were upset about it.
Yeah. Yeah, and then, I mean, the Zune came out in July of 2009.
Okay, so some time after the iPod.
Yeah, yeah. So, and there were other players in the market, you know, that played nice with Windows or DOS or whatever you were running at the time. But nothing was as popular out of the chute, of course, as that original iPod.
Right, and we would see that replayed when the iPhone came out in terms of just the buzz and the excitement. Yeah. And, again, not the first smartphone.
No.
But certainly one that had a lot of the things that we now take for granted in smartphones as being a component of those early ones. And
absolutely.
The same thing with the iPod. It grabbed a lot of the right things to be a component of it.
That's right. And you make a very good point, and that is that it wasn't the first. You know, the iPad wasn't the first, you know, tablet. Nope. The iPhone wasn't the first, you know, kind of smartphone. But Apple was so good at taking complex technologies and making them simple and usable for everybody. I remember the day I got my first iPhone. I remember coming home. I mean, I don't even think there was an app store yet.
Yes, and again, people forget, but that was a big switch because you had to go to AT&T, and many of us were on Verizon or wherever, and it's like, I don't want to switch.
And it wasn't that good at the time. I'm having fairly good luck with it now, but it certainly wasn't the top network back then.
It was not. No, absolutely not. But the iPod, I mean, kind of like you were saying in the last segment, once you got one, you're like, how did I live without this for all these years? And if you were a giant music fan, as you and I were, I mean, it was such a game changer. And iTunes, again, made it simple. It was such a friendly and accessible piece of software that everybody could operate. And then they made a Windows version, and it just got enormous.
Yeah, that ecosystem, it just clicked with people. It worked with people, and people wanted to, you know, fill their libraries and make their mixtapes. But just to touch on that, you know, there were other MP3 players and other, you know, everything. You know, one of my clients is Doc McGee, and he has this great saying that Doc McGee manages Kiss currently and Vintage Trouble, but he's managed, you know, he's in the Motley Crue movie. He managed them, Bon Jovi, you know, Scorpions.
In the music business.
Yeah, he's forgotten more about the industry than most of these people know, but I love the guy. He's a great person, and he says sometimes it's big because we say it's big, and that's is Apple. Apple is so good at marketing. Not only did they take these technologies and make them simple, but they made them beautiful. They made them aspirational. You wanted to have that iPod. You know, their ads made it so you felt like you were left out if you didn't have one.
Yes, they did. And I remember when I got mine, because I wasn't quite as early as you. I remember I waited about 4 months, and I waited for refurb units to be out there. And I bought it from a company that's, I don't know if they're still in business, a company called Small Dog.
Uh-huh.
In the East Coast, and they were selling refurb Mac stuff, and I got a refurbed iPod. And when you showed it to people, and it, you know, and again, it, like you said, if you grew up in the era of the Walkman, you know, you could see that there was a tape going in there, but you could hear what song it was, but there was no visual readout of the songs. And when you show people that iPod, they're just like, oh my God, I want one. How much? And they were, I want to say they were $299 at the time. They were pretty expensive.
They were very expensive at the time. Remember, they had that, it wasn't the fully fleshed out that we remember from later. It had that scroll wheel, but it, around the scroll wheel, it still kind of had buttons. And I remember vividly that screen that it had. You know, it really was like almost like a DOS computer. It was just text. It didn't have any album art.
No.
It wasn't beautiful. It didn't have like a progress bar that was gorgeous or anything. And of course, it evolved over time. But there was something very charming about it. And I think, I don't have one in front of me, but I remember the back was chrome.
Yes, it was. Absolutely. Yes, it was. No question about it. And but again, yes, we didn't have the stuff that we now take for granted, but just having the visual thing and that clicky scroll wheel was just unbelievable. You know, you move down, like, oh, I'm sick of this song.
Exactly. It made that little shuffle sound.
Exactly. Again, like the iPhone after it, and, you know, you have to think this was part of the genius of Apple, was that moved a lot of people over to Mac computers.
It sure did. I know a lot of people who were introduced to the whole Mac OS ecosystem because of the iPod, and then also later, to your point, you know, with the iPhone, it brought people into Macs.
Yeah. It was that gateway drug to the Apple ecosystem.
Exactly.
Lots of people at the time were not into that. And so that was kind of the early back when Steve Jobs came in. So on that note, we got to take a very brief break. You are listening to Pop Tech Radio. Mike Escher with my good friend Jay Gilbert. And we are coming right back after these things.
Hi, I'm Dan Scott, owner of Eagle Eye Painting. Spring is traditionally a time for home improvement projects. A new paint job is a great place to start. At Eagle Eye Painting, we handle interior, exterior, and cabinets. Plus, we offer minor repairs for drywall and dry rot. We are fully licensed, bonded, insured, and do residential and commercial painting. Please visit our website at danscottpainting.com and read the customer reviews. Then give us a call at 400-5152 to schedule a free estimate. We would love the chance to do a great job for you. Call us today, 400-5152, Eagle Eye Painting.
A jewel of the North State, a place we love to go and love being members.
The view, the best in the North State, from the restaurants, meeting rooms, and of course on the award-winning 18-hole golf course, Riverview Golf and Country Club. It's the place to belong.
Go in and meet the friendly staff today or go to their website at riverviewgolf.net and find out about their introductory memberships.
Riverview Golf and Country Club, corporate, social, tennis, fitness, and golf. Get it all. Become a member.
It's affordable and fun. Riverview Golf and Country Club.
Redding Electric Utility cares about the whole community, and we offer an income-qualified residential energy discount program that can save you up to $400 a year on your energy bill. And once per year, CARES bill credit up to $300. To find out if your income qualifies you for a residential discount program and CARES program, call 339-7200. That number again is 339-7200.
Morgan Stanley values long-term relationships with its clients.
Rick Hill and Rory Greek, financial advisors of Morgan Stanley's Reading office, know that building relationships begins with getting to know each client. Everyone has different goals, from planning for retirement to saving for a child's education.
Rick and Rory with the Pathfinder Group at Morgan Stanley can create personal investment strategies to help you meet your retirement, education, wealth transfer, and other financial needs. So call Rick or Rory at 223-4200. That's 223-4200.
Investments and services are offered through Morgan Stanley Smith Barney, LLC. Member SIPC.
Hi, I'm Stephanie Bridget, Shasta County District Attorney. I need you to help us identify and report potential victims of elder abuse, neglect, and exploitation. I urge you to join us on Saturday, June 15th from 5:30 to 8:30 p.m. on the Sundial Bridge as we light up the bridge purple in support of elder abuse awareness and prevention. This free event will have fun activities for the whole family and valuable information. No abuse, report abuse by calling Adult Protective Services at 225-5798.
Join Aaron Ryan and Bill Cundiff for We the People Radio every Sunday from noon until 2. Our interviews on them give you the whole story rather than mainstream media soundbites.
We'll bring you experts on politics, national security, environmental craziness, veterans affairs, Agenda 21, foreign affairs, and everything in between.
Our commercial-free archives are always available at wethepeopleradio.us.
It's the most fun you can have while talking about them.
Join us every Sunday from noon until 2. We the People Radio here at KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM.
You can take us with you anytime, anywhere, live with our streaming audio feed at KCNR1460.com.
It is Pop Tech Radio. Mike Etchart, my good friend Jay Gilbert, he the co-founder of Label Logic. He is a digital strategist. He also has a wonderful newsletter called Your Morning Coffee. He is a whiz and somebody who is really so well tuned in with the digital music scene, the new music business, as we call it. So we were talking, Jay, of course, about our recollections of the first iPod of iTunes. And then as the development of iTunes continued, then the big thing, we were both in the music industry at the time, working for Universal, and then Steve Jobs kind of made it happen, and suddenly you were able to buy digital music online and download it right to your iTunes on your computer and transfer it over to your iPod. That was really a game changer, wasn't it, when that finally happened?
Yeah, it was just such an amazing thing, because I didn't have to, you know, take a CD and rip it.
Yeah.
And go to, it was like running an errand. I didn't have to do that anymore. And I remember the first song I ever bought from the iTunes store, there was a Sheryl Crow remix. It was only available on iTunes. And I thought, well, that's kind of cool. And I downloaded it and I saw how easy it was to experience music. And eventually, I got rid of my CDs, and I was pretty early on to do that. Mm-hmm. But what I did was, I spent a good year and a half ripping all my CDs first, and so I have them, you know, and I still have those digital files, but in what was left that I, if there were any holes, I would go on to iTunes and find them. But my favorite thing to do on iTunes was to go into something that I really liked, like Neil Finn. And I would listen to Neil Finn, explore around, and then if I bought a track, it would say other people, you know, like this music. And I would start going down this rabbit hole and I would buy a track, and then it would show me some other bands and I would buy a track, and I would spend, you know, hours just going deep into this rabbit hole on iTunes. And it was just, for a music fan, it was like going through an old record store.
It really was. Yeah. And that sort of recommendation, or that, you know, like you said, it was so easy to just lose track of time.
And because it was decoupled, right? Remember, that was a big deal back then.
It was.
You could buy tracks. You didn't have to buy the entire album. And there's a long debate about it, whether that was good or bad. But the fact is, for a music fan, I could go in there and grab the songs that I wanted. Now, I still like albums. But, you know, there's some songs out there where I don't need the full album.
Yep. No, absolutely. And even at that point, when the iTunes store opened up, you know, people weren't really complaining about it. It was okay.
Yeah. And it was really surprising watching the adoption, because, you know, you and I would go to meetings, you know, at Universal where we worked. And initially, good sellers were maybe, you know, 50 units a week, 100 units a week. Whereas on the CD side, you know, there were thousands, tens of thousands. And it was kind of a rounding error. And I remember just over the weeks and the months, and it happened very fast, especially, you know, in 2003 when, you know, the iTunes store launched. Those numbers started picking up. And I remember being in a meeting, we were talking about comedy, because comedy started out very fast digitally. Faster than most other genres, believe it or not. And I remember we had Larry the Cable Guy and Ron White, and I was coming into meetings. My digital department started outselling the physical, and that's when people started taking notice. It was a very exciting time in the industry.
It was, and it was funny how comedy, I've completely forgotten that, but yes, how little niches like that would suddenly pop up. But, you know, the other thing that was going on, as you and I both know, but maybe, you know, folks listening don't remember, you know, this was kind of also as physical retail stores of CDs started to shrink.
Yeah.
So you started to have less and less places to go and buy CDs. And so, you know, it's kind of these two things happening in the marketplace.
Right.
Dramatically changed. But the iTunes store opened up. It opened the floodgates. And then when do you think was kind of the pushback on iTunes? When did people kind of start to say, oh, you know, this really could stand an upgrade? My recollection is it was in the mid-2000s.
Yeah, I think that's close. I think what we have to keep in mind is that iTunes really was an answer to Napster and LimeWire and all of that free, you know, file trading, stealing, whatever you want to call it, pirating, people taking music for free. And then all of a sudden, you know, we had an alternative to that that was legitimate.
Yeah.
And that was so appealing to a lot of folks that they didn't care that it wasn't the most beautiful interface initially. We liked it. But you're right, you know, as things kind of moved forward, then you also had things like Sony Connect, and you had Napster when it became legitimately bought by BMG, and you had Rhapsody, and you started having these competitors, and they all kind of had the same music, give or take, so they started competing on, well, look and feel and things like that, and it became apparent pretty quickly, as you, you know, mentioned, that, you know, there was a little bit of a pushback of, well, this is kind of a spreadsheet, you know.
That's right. About as sexy as a spreadsheet.
Right.
And then we get to, at some point, of course, Apple gets in the television business and the book business and the podcast business. And as we're talking about this, what I'm actually really more surprised at is that it's lasted as long as it has and been still fairly functional.
Yeah, absolutely. I remember one of the game changers I thought was when Apple quietly allowed you to put your iPhoto from your Mac onto your iPod so you could actually, even if it was a small screen, you could kind of page through and look at your photos. And that opened the door for album art. And they had all that stuff fairly early on. And being a big fan of podcasts, that was one of the favorite uses of my iPod, was just I could subscribe. I didn't have to go fetch. You know, I didn't have to go find something. If I had a daily podcast like Tech News Today, you know, with Tom Merritt or whatever it was, I just got my iPod. You know, I had to sync it up every night, but then I'd put it in my car, and it was like subscribing to a magazine. I could listen to that program every day. It was like TiVo for radio, and it really changed the game for me and a lot of people like me, because, as you know, being in Los Angeles, you spend a lot of time in your car.
Absolutely. On that note, we do need to take a quick commercial break. You're listening to my friend Jay Gilbert and myself on PodTech Radio, and we'll be right back.
Dodge Performance Days, where that new car smell gets replaced by the scent of burned rubber. With Dodge Charger and its available best-in-class 485 horsepower. Dodge Challenger Hellcat Red Eye, with up to 797 horsepower and 707 pound-feet of torque. And the powerful 7-passenger Dodge Durango. Hurry in for great deals now at Dodge Performance Days. World's largest regular car vehicle segment. Dodge is a registered trademark of FCA US LLC.
Have you ever tried to plan a vacation and the hotel costs, airfare, and pet sitter all add up to one big never mind?
Well, it's time to embrace the adventure and go RVing instead. GoRVing.com is your one-stop shop for all things RV camping. Browse the different types of RVs, find a rental agent or dealer near you, and compare the costs. Explore more than 16,000 RV parks and campgrounds nationwide, and even plan your menus for the trip. Find out what you've been missing at GoRVing.com. That's GoRVing.com. The big news from Subaru is the three-row Ascent. It's the biggest SUV from Subaru ever. There's room for 7 or 8 passengers with a choice of second-row captain's chairs or bench seating. It'll tow up to 5,000 pounds. It has interior space you need for your whole crew. And it gets you where you want to go with the safety of a Subaru, including standard symmetrical all-wheel drive. The three-row Subaru Ascent. Love is now bigger than ever. Maximum towing capacity varies by trim level, and trailer brakes may be required. See your retailer for details. Brembo has been stopping champions on the track as well as drivers like you and me on the street for over 50 years. Whether it's UV-coated brake discs, low-dust premium ceramic brake pads, or high-temperature brake fluid, BrembostoreUSA.com is the place to go to buy genuine Brembo OE equivalent replacement brake components. Go to BrembostoreUSA.com to help you achieve that 60-0 braking performance you deserve and expect from Brembo. Brembo, the choice of champions and consumers for over 50 years. Cancer is the number one cause of death by disease for children in the U.S. today. Since the Austin Hatcher Foundation's birth in 2006, it has grown to provide unique programs to help the children and the families affected by pediatric cancer. Support begins at the time of diagnosis and continues throughout survivorship at no cost to families. Lives touched by the foundation continue to rise each day. But we need your help. Donate, volunteer, or partner with the Austin Hatcher Foundation. Learn how you can get involved. Visit hatcherfoundation.org for more information.
Kia Soul, what started as an icon, has evolved into a whole new species. The Soul X line specializes in adventure with a nasty case of restless car syndrome. The high-minded Soul EX is dressed up and kitted out with more tech than we can mention here. And the Soul GT line turbo is a true apex predator with a turbocharged drive to defy. The new species of Soul, the 2020 Soul. Give it everything.
Tech Radio, Mike Etchart, Jay Gilbert from Label Logic, digital strategist, and he is the founder of Your Morning Coffee, which you should check out if you are a fan of digital music and the music industry. You can go to labellogic.net and get that link. It's free to subscribe, and it is very cool. It comes in, as Jay mentioned, really early on the West Coast. Really early.
Thank you.
It's like one of the first emails I get on the Friday. So as we're taking our time travel trip about iTunes, and it's not demise, but it's evolving, should we say, it's going to still exist, as I gather. Is it still going to exist for Windows users and more?
Yes, I understand that it is. It's just going to be a separate standalone app.
I always wondered, did Apple know how successful financially the iTunes store would be for them? They must have. But boy, that really turned into just a gold mine, didn't it?
Well, I think that they honestly, from everything that I've read, that wasn't the goal. The goal was to sell hardware, and they weren't necessarily profitable because of all of the licensing deals they had to have initially. So, you know, it's like they wanted to sell more of Macs and more of these wonderful iPods that really turned the company around, you know. As the iMac kind of launched and did some amazing things, this thing really brought them into the limelight. And so it wasn't the primary thing. But then, as you mentioned, books, movies, podcasts, all these other things started. It became more of a multimedia. It wasn't just about music anymore.
Yes. You know, when we look back on what company could have done this, there really was one, and it was Apple, because they always had a history of basically being very content focused in the printing business or in the movie business. You know, most people use Mac for that stuff. So they just kind of had that built into their DNA. But had Apple not taken the bull by the horns early on, I don't think much of this would have happened. I mean, it really could only have been Apple.
No, I think it would have been fragmented, because back in that era, the major labels with companies like Pressplay and MusicNet and some of these, we were all trying to have our own proprietary system.
you know, our own proprietary stores, which sounds ridiculous today. Like, why would you go to one to get Warner Brothers, like Led Zeppelin, you know, and another one at Sony, you know? It's not intuitive, but that's what they were trying to do. And Steve Jobs stepped in right at the right time, made the right partners at the majors and said, look, these people are stealing your music. This way, you can at least control it, get some money for it, protect it, and, you know, blew up.
And it blew up. It certainly did. And it hasn't been all that long, really, when you look at it. It's been far less than 20 years since it's kind of morphed into what it is now.
Yeah.
Folks that made a career out of working in the music industry, a lot of us lost our jobs during that transition.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, the economy dipped way low, and so you had this transition from physical to digital. But now the music companies are incredibly successful based on streaming.
Right.
And you know, the details a bit more, but, you know, at what point did it cross over from it was mostly downloads to most streaming? Was that like 3 years ago?
In 2016, streaming surpassed downloads in sales. Yeah. So it's not that long ago. And it's interesting because streaming took off so fast. We thought downloads, you know, took off fast, but as you mentioned, they lasted a long time as a configuration. But we all talked about the jukebox in the sky and all these stuff. You know, we've been talking about that for years.
Mm-hmm.
And then it happened, but it wasn't Apple where that happened, right? It really started off with Spotify early on.
Yeah, interesting. And of course, they kind of tested, because they are a Scandinavian country,
mm-hmm.
that was launched in a small country, basically. And that gave them a lot of feedback, didn't it? And allowed them, from a licensing standpoint, to do things that they couldn't necessarily do on a grand scale.
Yeah, there's a really great book out there called Spotify Teardown. It talks about the history of the company, and it's not written by music writers. It's written by analysts. So to give you a teardown, it just means that they're showing you how things work. And the reason I bring that up is because they took a look at Spotify. Most people don't know this, but Spotify started off as an illegal site like LimeWire or the original. Yeah, they started off, and they learned early on that, you know, they were going to get shut down if they didn't, you know, strike licensing deals with the majors and of course, the indies. And they pivoted many, many times. That was just one. The perception is that they just came out the way they are. But, you know, they haven't been around that long, but they've had plenty of changes, plenty of growth, and now they are so far ahead of everybody else in, you know, a lot of people will call it algorithms. I tend to call it personalization, meaning that they know based on what you're listening to, they can recommend things for you. And if you use their Discover Weekly or Release Radar playlist, they are amazing at recommending new music for you.
Now, am I mistaken, or I thought Apple has now caught up with Spotify in terms of subscriptions in the U.S.?
Well, they've caught up in paid subscriptions in the U.S. Spotify has about 100 million more users, you know, because of they have an ad-based platform that if you listen to ads, you can listen to, you know, it's not quite the same service, but you can listen to it. And Apple, to their credit, they're a little bit more music business friendly in that you may be able to get a quick free trial, but you need to subscribe in order to play that game.
Right. And we should mention that you know, in the case of Spotify, they license music from the big companies, and the big companies hate the free stuff. They want it to be paid, and so part of their licensing agreement is that they minimize that.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right. So that is
they minimize functionality, like you can only have so many skips and you can only listen to so much. And, you know, they're trying to ratchet that down to make it more appealing to subscribe and because that's where it's at. And I would be remiss if I didn't say that the number one streaming service for music isn't Spotify or Apple Music. It's YouTube, and it is by a mile. And if you look at your morning coffee tomorrow, there's a really great article coming out about music. And I'm not talking about the music digital service provider kind of music service for YouTube. I'm just talking about YouTube in general. And why is that? Well, because first of all, there's the number of users, but you can get anything on YouTube, B-sides, outtakes, live things.
On that note, we do need to take a quick break, and we will do that. So when we come back, we got more with Jay Gilbert and digital music now on Pop Tech Radio.
Chamber of Commerce Minute is brought to you by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning.
Becoming a member of the Greater Reading Chamber of Commerce is probably the smartest investment a local business can make. It would be impossible for a company on its own to duplicate the benefits of a chamber membership in the areas of legislative advocacy, workforce development, and economic development, not to mention all of the networking opportunities and business seminars offered. Join a committee, become an ambassador, attend a networking event, then watch your investment in business take off. Join today by calling 225-4433 and get connected.
This moment's been brought to you by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, professional cleaning services, 221-5868. Why not get the best?
As gun laws continue to tighten up across the country, Bastiani Arms will continue to provide our community with quality firearms, hard-to-find ammo, off-list fully built AR lower receivers, and the absolute best customer service. Get out of the grab-and-go box stores and come talk to a knowledgeable firearm specialist. The good guys at Bastiani Arms are real gun enthusiasts with two full-time gunsmiths on hand 5 days a week. Right now, Bastiani Arms is stocked up on hard to find ammo, 30-30, 38 Special, and 44 Magnum. More people than ever are exercising their rights to conceal and carry a firearm. Seth Stoke has over 20 years experience in firearms and offers CCW classes, women-only CCW classes, and hunter education. Bastiani Arms has everything you need for firearms, and they appreciate you shopping local. Bastiani Arms, on the corner of Larkspur Lane and Wall Street in Reading. Join the revolution.
And we're back, Pop Tech Radio, Mike Etchart with Jay Gilbert. He, of course, of Label Logic. He is a digital strategist, and he is also the author of the wonderful newsletter, Your Morning Coffee. So, Jay, iTunes, it's basically being broken up. It's not really going away, but there's so many new folks in the market. We were just on our break kind of talking about them. What should we be aware of?
You know, well,
YouTube, and but there's
exactly.
Others.
YouTube is huge, and there's so many great services out there. To fit every need, but we were talking a little bit about Pandora, and Pandora is a beast. I mean, Pandora has so many users, and it's evolved and changed, and, you know, you hear all these really great things there, you know, whether it's live performances when people come by their studios or messages from the artists, which you don't hear as much on the other digital service providers. You hear a lot more of those artists actually talking, you know, in front of their music, and it's not your mother's Pandora. It's really grown, and it's really hip and cool. The other thing is, which is exploding more, I think, than anything else in the business right now, is voice, like the Amazon Echo, the Google Home, the Apple HomePod. And it's amazing because you just say, hey, and the name of the device, which I won't say right now because it'll play, and it will play music for you. But what's interesting is you can say things like, play the best pop songs from 1984. The number one search term on that device is chill, and the number two is kids music. So you come in, you're busy, you're tired after work, you say, play chill music, play dinner music, that sort of thing. It's less about genre and more about mood.
And so in that case, the device is driving your subscription choice, correct?
Yeah, just like the iPod.
Yeah, just like the
iPod. Back in the day.
Now, if you were going to get out your crystal ball and your Swami hat, and we're having this discussion in, let's say, 3 years, is there anything kind of on the horizon that you think might be coming our way that we should know about?
I do. I think it's voice, and I think it's mobile. I think voice is getting better and better and better. There are some problems right now. Like, up until recently, if you wanted to play Julian Lage, it couldn't play it, but now it can. But if you said play Julian Loggy, it could. Mm-hmm. So we're going to have to deliver our metadata phonetically. We're going to have to make sure that if you have an accent that it still recognizes what you say. So we're in the early, early days of voice, but it's moving to the cars really quickly. Ford is an early adopter. BMW is an early adopter. You're going to see this where you get into your car and you say, play chill music, play the Accidentals, play whatever, and it's going to play it for you. And I think that's really where this is going.
But also, like I said, we're getting so far away from, hey, play jazz. It's not going to be about genre so much anymore. It's going to be all these little subgenres, and it's already starting to happen now.
By the way, subgenres that, from the music business side, nobody ever categorized things like that.
Right, but they are now. They're going back in, and there's metadata companies that are going in and applying not only the genre, subgenre, but what kind of instrumentation is on, how many beats per minute, what's the mood, you know, is it depressing, is it uplifting? All of those things are being placed in the metadata. And for those who don't know what metadata is, it's just the underlying information about a song or an album that these systems use.
What about the artists? How are they faring in all of this? And is there good news for them? Because I know there's a lot of bad news for them in terms of what they make these days from this.
Right. Well, it's good and bad. It's good because now you can make your music available globally in a heartbeat. TuneCore, CD Baby, DistroKid, Stem, Symphonic. There's so many different places where I could record something on my iPad today and tomorrow get it up worldwide. That's amazing, right? The other thing is, but now you're competing. You're not just against your local band. You're competing against Drake and the Chainsmokers, right? Mm-hmm. So there's that. And then the last thing I'll say is that there's this common misconception about money. You can make money from streaming, but a stream isn't worth a download. A download isn't worth a CD. And you talk about these people who say, oh, I had a million streams and I only made $100. Well, they probably weren't the writer, or there were many co-writers. They might not have been recouped from their record company. I mean, there's so much to go through, but I can tell you that you can make money, and I know people who are making money from streaming.
Good news. That is good news. And on that note, we do need to wrap it up. Big thanks from the team here at Popular Technology Radio. Cody Castleberry is my producer and editor. Don't forget, we are podcasts. If you want to go back and revisit some of our earlier episodes, wherever you get your podcasts, we are there, including iTunes and other different places on the interweb. So do check us out there. And I also want to thank our syndicator for the folks that deliver this content, our radio show, out to the terrestrial stations it carries. That's Radio America. Big thanks to Mike Paradiso, Jenny Dietas up there. They get the show out. And Jay Gilbert, give us your website if the folks want to get a subscription to you.
Thank you.
And copy.
Yeah. Yeah, it's label-logic.net, and right as you open it up, there's a place you can subscribe to your morning coffee. It's free. Please do, and thanks so much for having me.
Oh, great to have you on the show, Jay. We will check in with him again, so thanks for listening. Have a wonderful week. We will see you next time on Pop Tech Radio.
Hi, this is Judy Maxwell. Life can happen in an instant. Sometimes you plan for it, like retirement or taking care of your family. Sometimes it's a surprise, like a winter storm with home or property damage. Sometimes it may be an unexpected accident or illness or even a premature death. Whatever life throws at you, you'll wish you had gotten the right insurance when you had the chance. That's where Maxwell Insurance can help. For more than a quarter century, we've been serving the North State because it's our home, too. Give us a call at 221-0441 to let us help you review your policies and prepare you for whatever your future holds. Maxwell Insurance, 1378 Hilltop Drive, 221-0441.
The average adult is issued 32 troopers that, with proper care and just a little discipline, should serve you well during your entire tour of duty on this planet. They're called your teeth. But when your platoon gets out of line...